that you've been taking, if you're lonely and forsaken, I got a little boat I'm making just for you. It's tethered to the shore, but you never need to awe. I'm gonna tell you what you gotta do. Who is take the seat right next to me? We're gonna look up at the stars above. Need no reservation, here's an open invitation. We're riding on the river along. We can bathe any kind of weather, just as long as we're together. Cause everything is better with you by my side. If the boat starts rocking, I'll keep your knees from knocking. Just put your little hand in mine. Ooh, and take the seat right next to me. We're gonna look up at the stars above. Need no reservation, here's an open invitation. We're riding on the river along. Ooh, and if the drop is steep, well, don't you worry at all. We'll take a lover's leap over the waterfall. The river turns and it bends, but you know it never ends. I'll keep it straight, you keep the faith. Depend on me to keep the boat in the flow till we both grow old and the sun sets into the sea. Ooh, and take the seat right next to me. We'll look up at the stars above. Need no reservation, here's an open invitation. We're riding on the river along. Need no reservation, here's an open invitation. We're riding on the river along. Now, no matter your location, you're always at your destination when you're riding on the river along.
That was River of Love with Russ Chapman here in the studio with me today. So this might be the last time I get to have you on the radio for a while, huh, Russ?
Well, as a resident musician, but maybe not as a visiting, you know, with visitors, we treat our visitors nicer than we treat our neighbors.
Yeah, so things could be better for you the next time you
I'm looking forward to visit.
Yeah. So where are you going?
Well, first of all, I mean, as a preamble, we've been in the Valley for a while, kind of since 99, with a little bit of a departure to Nashville for a bit. So we've been here for a bit, and anyone who's been in the North Fork Valley and Paonia for a while knows what a special place it is. And it's a hard place to leave, but we've decided that we just kind of need to blow out the pipes, so to speak. I guess that means something different to everyone. Like if you're a plumber, you blowing out the pipes, I don't know if that would be good.
It's not a good thing, but this is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, unless you're winterizing.
Yeah.
Then you'd want to blow out the pipes.
So you travel a lot just in general as a musician, right? It's not like you go on long tours, but it seems like at least during the summer months you take trips.
Yeah, the summer, the summer is definitely a busier time, and the winter is just such a in Colorado it's tough. You might go, I mean, we live where we live, and it usually means a pass if you're headed towards the ski areas, Vail or Aspen. So it's I've kind of learned to just be like, oh, I don't know if those gigs are worth it to drive home in a big snowstorm.
Mm-hmm. But drive like 4 or 5 hours.
Right, yeah. Right. But to head to Junction or Fruita, I've been playing our sister cities. They're not really our cousin cities, which to me, Palisade and Fruita, to me, they're like Paonias, but different. The folks right. there are really of the same kind of ilk to a mm-hmm. certain degree. So I head in that direction kind of when it's winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's warmer over there, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't know much about your background, and you now, like currently what you do is this sort of modern rendition of old time music. And I'm wondering if that's how you started out. How did you develop your sound and style?
You know, that's a good question, because we've been clearing out the house because we're moving and stuff. So I've come across old – have you heard of these things called cassettes?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I do remember those, just barely.
It's a French word, and it means tape. And so I pulled out these cassettes, and I couldn't believe how awful it all was, just really bad.
Wow.
And if I would have – known then what I know now, I would have said, you know what? Stop. Do something else. But I didn't listen to my future self because I never made it back to the past. You following?
Yeah, it just takes me a little bit of time to catch up to you.
It's taken a while for me to find my voice in a way. And it's funny because we lived here in Paonia, and then we went to Nashville for a little bit. And Nashville is kind of the place where I think I found my voice, really. I can trace it back. I can listen to a couple of recordings back. Oh, there it is. There's the seeds of who I am now, which is a musician that I'm satisfied with to a certain degree. I don't listen to myself and be like, ooh, that's bad.
Well, a lot of it's about your storytelling and your sort of lyrical genius, if you don't mind me saying so. When did you develop that part of it, just the lyrical wit that you have going on? And it's not just when you're singing either. You actually talk in conversation. You're like that.
I think the genius word's interesting because when you say genius and that's like automatically I kind of have to be apologetic. But it's funny. There's the concept of genius comes from genie, which is this thing that is outside of you that comes and visits you. And I like that concept because it's an external thing and it's not so much of a boastful thing. So I'm cool with that word in that context. But in terms of lyrically, I think that, I don't know, I just never went the ooh baby route, you know, mm-hmm. Ooh baby, even though that totally works. Mm-hmm. so weird.
Yeah, really well for some people. Yeah.
And I think that goes back to, you know, a lot of people ask songwriters, well, what comes first, the lyrics or the music? And you think, well, what's the answer to that? Well, there's no real answer to that. And that's not how I feel. I feel like there is an answer and the music comes first. Definitely. Because the words can always be adjusted for the music. But the music, if you're adjusting the music for the words, you're doing something wrong, in my mm-hmm. opinion. I don't know. I guess that's being kind of narrow-minded, but it's the way I feel about mm-hmm. Traditional songwriting, I guess. I think I learned as I went. You know, I definitely was writing songs all along, and the ones you think they're good, and then you realize it's almost like finding your voice. You find your kind of writing voice, and after doing it enough times, there's a whole concept of 10,000 hours of something, and you'll be mm-hmm. you'll be okay at it. And I think that with songwriting, it was in that vein where it was like, okay, I've put in a lot of time here, and this stuff is starting to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Which is funny though, you'll run into kids who just get it right off the bat, you know. So it's weird that way. But I do, you know, the whole turn a phrase thing, turning a phrase, which is kind of is popular in country music, or it was for a long time. I'm not so into that. It's cool once in a while, but I do like humor within what I do to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of a twist. I feel like that was the way you hosted Pot of Gold, which is our kids show here on KVNF too. It was like, oh, he's doing a kids show. Oh, seems like pretty happy and sweet. Oh, there's sort of a dark twist to what he just said. It's like, you know, Shel Silverstein is like that too. Yeah, where there's a little bit of a, you know, a message in there, a little dark moment.
It's funny, if you really research Shel, you know, if you look in deep into his life, you'll realize like, wow, this guy really played both sides of the coin here, because he was great at what he did in the children's world, but he did some other stuff that would not fit at all. And Randy Newman, you know, Randy Newman's famous for his you Got a Friend in Me, but you know, you go past that and you'll be like, oh wow, what kind of friend are you?
What did Shel Silverstein do? Now I want to know.
Well, you know, he wrote the song Cover the Rolling Stone. He spent a lot of time at the Playboy Mansion in Chicago. Oh. And he wrote for Playboy for a while. And then he lived in Key West. He knew how to have a good time. He never got married, but and there's no buts there, sorry. There were some buts there, but never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm here with Russ Chapman, and we'd love to hear another song, Russ.
Okay, yeah. How about, this is a recent song. I wrote this just kind of last week, I think. Something happened and I had to write this song. Just so you understand, I was not confused
or under the influence or the power of booze. I just insist on insisting when I know something's true. Now there's just one thing I got to say to you. Well, I was wrong. I was just wrong. That's what I should have said now all along. I did it, baby, I get it, I'll admit it. But baby, I was wrong. Well, I did not misspeak or miscalculate. Well, this should not be seen as an honest mistake. I did what I do, cause I said what I say. I ain't got no excuse and no need to explain. Cause I was wrong, I was wrong. That's what I should have said now all along. I did it, I did it, I get it. Baby, I was wrong. See, when you tell the truth, you're gonna see the light. But just admitting you're wrong, it won't make everything right. But there's one thing that I know it's true. I wasn't wrong when I met you. But you remember that time that you told me that Portland, Maine is actually further south than Portland, Oregon? I was like, oh, baby, that's not true, because Maine is way, way, way up there north, and Oregon not so much. Take a look at the map here. See, here's Portland, Maine, okay? And, oh, see, I was wrong. I was just wrong. I knew you knew it, baby, all along. I said it, Lord, I did it, I get it, I'll admit it. I meant it when I said it, but I regret it that I said it. I did it, I'll admit it, oh baby, I get it. Oh, baby, I was wrong. But it ain't massage oil, baby. You don't have to rub it in.
What did you do, Russ?
I think it was geographical.
Oh, okay, a simple geographical error. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for admitting you were wrong. Why is that so hard for some people to do?
Well, you know, I realized I get to that whole thing. No, I didn't misspeak. I didn't miscalculate. There's really no excuse here. I was just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
and it was just
that way.
And I wrote that song. I was like, that's it. Just yeah. I'm
simple.
Sure there's other wrong songs out there. But there's another one.
Oh, that was great. Russ Chapman, new song. So I read in your bio, Russ, that you played with Ricky Skaggs, Kentucky Thunder, and the Jim Lauderdale Band, and you took part in some Nashville writing sessions. Was this when you went to Nashville?
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, it's a good time to learn the word hyperbole.
Uh-huh.
So what I did is I did a session with, Andy Leftwich, who plays with Ricky Skaggs. So that was the Ricky Skaggs connection.
Okay.
And Chad Cobb, who also played with John Cowan. But, you know, these guys are a dime a dozen in Nashville, so it's really not that big a deal. But you have to kind of build yourself up on your website. And then I'd play out in Nashville, and then folks would sit in. And one time the fiddle player for Jim Lauderdale's band sat in. So I was like, oh. Check.
There you go.
You're on my
right
list
there
now.
In the bio.
Yeah. I'm gonna clear that all out, and I'm just gonna just
Well, still though, you have there 6 degrees of separation, or like less than 6 degrees. So that counts. What did you like about your experience in Nashville? Why did you go out there, first of all?
There was this thing called the Durango Songwriters Expo, and it used to just be in Durango. Now it's kind of in Santa Barbara sometimes, and it was in Colorado Springs once. But anyhow, Durango started it. This guy, Jim Atterbury, started it down there. And everyone from Nashville would come to Durango because why wouldn't you want to come to Durango in Colorado? They love it. And it was kind of this big songwriters expo. And I met some folks there, and of course they're like, oh, you should – I say of course because I think they tell everyone, oh, you should move to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
and Kit and I were living in Vallecito at the time, and Vallecito is kind of, it's up, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. It was cool, but we were like, hey, why don't we do that? Why don't we just go to Nashville? So we did, and it was great. And what I liked about Nashville most, what did I like most about it? I don't know. I can tell you what I didn't like about it. I didn't like the me me-centric kind of world. You know, everyone's just kind of trying to, quote-unquote, make it. And that didn't really resonate with me. But I met all these players who were the players like John Prine's bass player, you know, and you're at a party and you're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I play bass for John Prine. And you're like, oh, well,
too bad your career is going nowhere.
Right. And it's funny, one time we were in the car and we were listening to the radio and a song had just come on the radio and Kit goes, John Prine. I was like, no, I don't think it's John Prine. I think it's Kris Kristofferson. She's no, like right there in the car. There's John Prine. I was like, oh, that is John Prine. He drives this big black Cadillac and his two kids were in the back seat. So that stuff's kind of fun too. And our son went to the Waldorf school there for a little bit. He was just in preschool, and Alison Krauss's kid went there too. And every morning Leo would go to school, our son would go to school, and he would cry. He would just bawl his eyes out. And the janitor there, well, he was actually more the groundskeeper there, would take him in and say, it's okay. Hey, why don't I show you the lawnmower here and everything's okay. So it turns out the groundskeeper there used to be Loretta Lynn's bass player. You know, he's the groundskeeper.
Really?
And then one time I went to go pick Leo up from school, and Alison Krauss was there. She's like, how's he doing? I was like, who? How's who doing? Aww. You're Alison Krauss. Who are you talking about? Oh, my son. Oh, yeah, he's okay.
Nice.
But let's talk about you. So that kind of stuff's kind of cool. But
yeah, that's way cool. Did you get to play with some musicians that just sort of took it to another level for you, where you were like, oh, I see how this could...
You know, I did a session with Riders in the Sky. And those guys are amazing. They're a cowboy group. And I'd woke up one morning. This was during the Bush-Kerry election, Bush's second term.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't know if you remember that election, but it was definitely like kind of like a...
It was intense.
It was pretty intense. And then I woke up this one morning and with the song in my head, and I was like, oh, I should write that. And then I was like, oh, I should record that. And it had this kind of Western swing thing to it. So I was like, oh, who can I track down? And I'd seen these guys before, and they're amazing. So I was like, I wonder if... And sure enough, those guys were like, yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it. I couldn't bill them as Riders in the Sky because of their record. There was Rounder. So I called them the Swing Votes.
Because
it was
like
kind of
that.
Swing.
Yeah.
It had a kind of a swing vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
But that kind of... And we recorded it live, which is... You know, good players can do that, and a lot of times these days, folks just piecemeal songs together, and that just put me in this place where I was like, oh wow, I'm the short straw in the room here. Like, okay, I need to pony up to play with these guys, and it all worked out. It was great.
Do you like being? Do you want to collaborate with people like that some more? Maybe be a songwriter for other musicians, or do you really kind of like the solo act?
Well, there's a place in between there. Writing songs for other musicians doesn't interest me at all, but having a little trio interests me significantly because I think that it just opens up doors. I can always play solo. I mean, it's always an option. You can always downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to have a trio would be, I think it would open up some more doors, you know.
Yeah. Who are some songwriters that you like currently?
You know, I always appreciate Randy Newman. Mm-hmm. You know, he's someone that, and I haven't dug deep into his catalog, but everything I've heard from him, I've been like, oh, I like that. He's just got a cool way of doing things. And Roger Miller, you know, Roger Miller just, I like those guys who kind of have a little bit of a character within their, what they do, and it doesn't seem really generic. But I just like good songs, too. So, you know, you've got these folks who just have these catalogs of songs that you can appreciate. But then, like, we were talking about Elvis Costello and that tune, Allison. I mean, that's an awesome song. So it's like you can kind of pick and choose, be like, maybe Elvis Costello isn't, like, quote-unquote, my favorite songwriter. But I can pick, like, four songs of his. And I'm like, oh, I like all these. So I think it's I try not to – this is – I don't know if other musicians are like this, but I try not to listen to too much music because – it seeps in, and it seeps in a way that where you're just like, oh, oops, you know.
Oops, I'm writing that same song.
Oh, yeah, oops. And I've heard it before. I've heard songs that musicians, you know, other writers have done, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that sounds just like this other song. And I really don't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the subconscious, I think, but it happens, yeah.
Yeah. Who do you write most like?
Oh, goodness.
Is there who could you compare yourself to as far as?
You know, I'm a pretty straightforward writer. You know, I think some people think that I'm not, but I really do like a verse, chorus, and bridge if you want it. So it's funny, and a lot of my songs are short. You know, they really don't go past the 3 minute mark, very, very far past that 3 minute mark. And I like that too. I like when things just kind of get to the point. I really don't like it when things are just like, oh my gosh, start the song already.
Mm-hmm.
Like 15 seconds, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. Like for the beginning of a song, if you're 15, 20 seconds into it and nothing's happened yet, I'm kind of like.
There's some songs like where I think that the CD is broken.
Right.
The intro's so long.
Yeah.
Like there's something wrong here.
Yeah, there is something wrong, but it's. It's not the CD. No, everyone has their own way of doing things, but it just depends on the style of music. You know, if it's like mm-hmm. reggae, you know, sure, you can jam out on that for a while, but mm-hmm. but traditional song, I'm kind of like, come on, man, get with the program. Say something.
I know you have some shows coming up all over the state, really, but what are some of the ones that are here that we can all go to?
Well, I'll be in Grand Junction at the Arts and Music Festival on Friday with Randy Utterback. And Randy's a great fiddle player.
Nice.
And that's from 2 to 3 on Main Street in Grand Junction. And then I'll be playing at the library on Tuesday the 2nd, which is June 2nd. I believe that starts at 6. And I like playing the library quite a bit because it's this great sit-down audience and everyone's just in a really good mood and it's fun.
Totally. And they like stories.
Yeah, they're willing to listen. They give you a little bit of enough rope to to get you into trouble, but that's the way I feel about radio too, by the way. It's just all this rope that's why I get in trouble.
You can definitely get into trouble. What are you gonna miss about the North Fork? I know that's kind of a big question.
The people. Yeah, definitely the people. I mean, there's mountains everywhere, you know, and there's people everywhere, but you make a special connection with people. And, you know, this area is, and I'm sure people that live in other smaller towns feel that way. It's, you have so many acquaintances that you just don't even realize the depth of all the relationships that you have, even if they're not people that you're super close with all the time. And you see them, but you see them on maybe a daily basis or at least a weekly basis and for years and years and years. And that it creates a little something inside of you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then I've noticed too, when somebody's leaving the area like you are right now, I start to feel like, oh, I totally took that person for granted. Like, I'm going to miss them terribly, and I didn't, like, appreciate them enough while they were here.
Yeah, I think we're feeling a little bit of that right now. Mm-hmm. But that's okay because, you know, I feel like Paonia and other towns are these places where you can go and you can come back and visit, and it's almost as if you never left.
Right.
And I see that with other folks who come and visit. And you can just kind of cram it all in a couple of days that you're hanging out, and then till next time. But who knows? We'll be back, probably.
Oh, good. I hope you visit often.
Yeah, Jeff gave the Hotel California quote, you know, you can check out, but you really, you can never leave.
Good. And I've been here with Russ Chapman, and we'll hear one more song from you.
Okay. This song's called Change in the Weather, and it's, you know how hurricanes are named after usually women?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe if we change it around and said, okay, this woman's actually named after a hurricane.
Wow.
Change in the weather, you better get your boots back on. The water's rising, you can't stay here and you shouldn't go home. It was sunny when you left her, but now it's just pouring rain. That's why that woman is named after the hurricane. A change in the weather, your good girl's good and gone. Wind is shifted, she's taking aim, she's coming on strong. You can board it up, you can band it down, she's gonna blow it all away. That's why that woman is named after the hurricane. You may brave the weather, but you'll never be the same. Oh, that's why that woman is named after the hurricane. A change in the weather, the levee's just about to break. She giving it all she got. That's much more than you can take. First you beg for mercy, then hang your head in shame. That's why the woman is named after the hurricane. You never knew a lover that could make you run for cover. In 05, that all changed. That's the year Katrina came. With the change in the weather, the past you leave is pain. That's why the woman is named after the hurricane. Changing the weather, good Lord, you felt the wrath. You stranded on the roof, surrounded by her aftermath. You cry for help all by yourself, ain't nobody came. That's why that woman is named after the hurricane. Well, you may brave the weather, but you'll never be the same. Oh, that's why that woman is named after the hurricane. That is why that woman is named after the hurricane.
That was singer-songwriter Russ Chapman. Thanks for tuning in to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.
I got the fat boy blues. I'm putting on weight just to lose. I said the fat boy blues. I'm putting on weight just to lose. I'm on a seafood diet. First I seafood, then I try it. That's why I got these fat boy blues. I said the fat boy blues. A double chin attitude. I got these fat boy blues. A double chin attitude. Well, I chew what I eat, and I eat what I choose. That's why I got these fat boy blues. Well, don't you know that I've been getting hefty ever since she left me? Cause Lord, you know my sweetie, she only used to feed me. With loving so delicious, we didn't need no dishes. She used to shake her sweet confections in every odd direction. But now I'm sad and I'm fat and alone. Well, Lord, don't you know that it's true? You can't replace loving with something from the oven. Well, the fat boy blues, I'm treating my heartache with food. Got these fat boy blues. I'm treating my heartache with F-O-W-D-O. Cause I don't need my one and only when I'm eating fried bologna. And I don't miss my goddess when I got some enchiladas. I don't think about my baby while I'm sobbing up some gravy. Someone save me from me fat boy blues. Save me from me fat boy blues.
Great. Yay.
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks. That just went so smoothly.
It did. That was easy.